วยไทยคือชีวิต
From our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida You are listening to The Striking Corner With Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto Your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide
All right, how's everybody doing? This is Eric Rivera from The Striking Corner, and as always, I got my sidekick, my co-host, Vinny Scotto, all the way from New York City. What is going on, Vin?
Not much, man. Just hanging out, chilling, same as usual.
Hanging out, chilling, and getting ready to go on vacation, man.
Yeah, I'm already. I've been in vacation mode for like the past, I don't know, week maybe. I don't want anything to do with anything.
Oh yeah,
like I want to be here talking to you, looking at you on this computer right now.
Yeah, I know. I could tell. I could tell from the minute we got on here, you're giving me the evil eye. Like, why are you making me do this at 11 o'clock in the morning?
I don't even want to look at you, talk to you. I hate you right now.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. All right. So yeah. So where are you going? Where are you headed to?
Going to Bermuda.
Oh, all right, man. Sounds good.
I'm kind of excited about it.
All right. Well, my week is not going to be as fun. I mean, well, I'm going to go into work. I'm not going on vacation or anything like that. Had a couple of things happen. Some shit happened over the weekend. And, it was just stressful. Kind of stressful, but some typical stuff that happens in the fight game. With one of my students, it kind of pissed me off. And then there was I watched some Bellator, some Bellator kickboxing, which I didn't even know, I hadn't even realized was on until I realized a bunch of people were posting it online. So I checked it out, and I was actually pleasantly surprised.
Are you going to tell us what happened over the weekend, or are you just going to tell us how pissed off it made you?
It made me pissed off, and that's all I'm going to say. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we're going to end the podcast right now. Thank you, everyone, for listening. No, man, just typical shit, you know. And what happens is, like I've always told people, I mean, Florida, unfortunately, as much as I love not living here, but living here, it's just when it comes to combat sports, there's like a whole bunch of stuff that's just retarded in the way they run things and everything. And then, well, that's not a politically correct word. They just run things wrong. but yeah, man, like what happened was that one of my fighters was supposed to be fighting today. I mean, sorry, on Saturday he was supposed to fight. And what happened was they weighed in on Friday. Everything was going right. We thought we were going to have a fight. We thought we were going to, you know, everything was going to go well. And I guess my fighter looked up, you know, this guy's name and like variations of this guy's name. And it turned out this guy was like 17 wins and 7 losses as a professional, like in the Ukraine, you know, like this guy's came from the Ukraine or whatever. And so we're like, okay, that's not supposed to happen. And
how many fights does your fighter have?
My fighter has like, I think like 4 fights as an amateur. You know, and that's kind of ridiculous that this guy was saying he was 2-3, and it turns out he was like 17-7 from, you know, fighting in the Ukraine on a professional event, because like we went on YouTube and could find it, and it was like, it looked like a Bellator kickboxing event, like a K1 event. So obviously it was a professional event. So the thing that kind of got me was I don't want to name names, I don't want to say the gyms or whatever, but we kind of knew the guy that runs the gym where this guy was coming from. And he was saying, oh, this guy's only been, and he's like, oh, I didn't know anything about it. This guy's only been in the country for like 10 months. He's only been training with me for 2 months. I had no idea he was pro. He came and he said he wanted to fight MMA. And I told him that, you know, he said, I told him that I couldn't let him fight MMA until I saw him fight. So I was going to set him up for, you know, a kickboxing match. Which kind of doesn't fly with me, because I'm pretty sure if somebody's 17-7 as a pro, and I saw the guy's fights, I mean, he's not, you know, he's not Buakaw, but he's not. It's like you would see that in a gym if you know what you're looking for. You know, you're gonna be like,
you're gonna see it when he trains, when he spars. You're gonna notice that.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's kind of what was so weird about it, and I was just like, all right, this is strange. Okay, this, and he come. You know, we know the guy. We know the coach. So it was kind of like we didn't know whether to believe him or not. You know. Why would he do this? You know, he's never been like that before. So that kind of thing, you know, it just kind of stressed us out. And then my fighter told us, you know, fuck it, I want to fight. And I told him, you know, I said, the fighter in me would totally want you to go in there and teach this guy a lesson. But if you get hurt, it's not worth it. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, it's not even about you fighting or not. I mean, it's about the fact that that's not even legal, you know, and you know, he's... In the state of Florida, and I think in every state, really, he's a pro. He's a pro. He can't be at that event, you know. So we had to bring it up, and you know,
he's a pro with over 20 fights.
Yeah, exactly.
So who knows how many fights he had as an amateur?
Exactly.
The guy's probably got minimum, you know, 30, 40 fights under his belt going against a guy who's got 4.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to name names or anything like that. But so the guy, like, and the thing is. The guy, so I don't know whose fault, you know, really at the end of the day, whose fault is it? The promoter didn't know, which I think he should do his due diligence and look at, you know, for the people that are fighting in his event, making sure that everyone's safe, obviously. But then the other thing is, you know, obviously the trainer should know. I'm pretty sure he knew. He can't just play dumb, you know. But then the fighter, I think ultimately to me, it's the fighter that is saying to everyone that he's 2-3. And then besides that, he gave not his real name, but like a variation of his name. It's kind of like if you go around, if your real name is like Vincent and you go around telling everybody your name is just Vin, you know? And so when people look you up, they can't find you kind of thing. But then they find like a variation of your name and they're like, oh shit, this guy's, you know, this guy's really 17-7, you know? So it was like to me, that's like deliberately trying to sandbag people, you know? And I'm like, dude, you're fucking 17-7 as a pro. Why would you want to fight an amateur? You know? Like, I just, that type of shit for me just bothers me. Like, there's people like want to, you know, pad their records or whatever. And it's just stupid, man. Like, what benefit do you get? Or what, you know, sort of, I mean, do you feel accomplished if you beat a guy who's like, you know, who has 4 fights when you have like 25?
You know? Well, you know what my reason for this is?
Yeah.
They're MMA people. You know how I feel about MMA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he wasn't an MMA guy, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess he wants to fight MMA. I don't know. I mean, you know me. I blame MMA for everything wrong with our sport.
All right. Yeah, okay. But yeah, no, so that was just it was just kind of the thing that kind of pissed me off about everything. But at the end of the day, obviously, you know, a bunch of stuff happened and they were like, oh, we're gonna have to look into this, you know, we can't have this, this can't be happening, obviously, and they had to like investigate. So obviously they were gonna pull this guy off the card, but they couldn't find a replacement for my fighter. And dude, my fighter had been, you know, he had been training really, really hard, you know, cutting the weight. You know, I'm pretty sure everybody out there that listens to our podcast knows what that feels like and kind of has faced a similar situation where, you know, you know, you're ready to go and something happens and a fighter either pulls out because they just don't want to fight all of a sudden, which is the worst kind of thing. And then, then something else happens. Like, cause I had one fighter that one time didn't fight and it was because his opponent didn't pass the medicals, which is fine with me because at the end of the day, I was like, well, if the guy didn't pass the medicals, you know, then he had like, they found something wrong with his heart or something. I mean, that's a whole different issue, you know? So I'm like, yeah, this dude potentially has a health issue. So that's fine, you know, but
there's sometimes where it's excusable exactly. to pull out, but there's plenty of times where it's not. Like, actually, I forgot who it was. Somebody posted on Facebook. Actually, it was Charlie Catone from 8 Limbs in Philly.
Yeah, yeah.
He posted something a couple weeks ago about which I completely agree that fighters who pull out the week of, the fighter and the gym should be penalized. Like they should. I don't remember what he was saying. Maybe some kind of blacklist that goes out to all the promoters. Like
yeah,
where this gym should not be allowed to have anyone fight for a certain amount of time, but there should be some penalty for pulling out the week of without a legitimate excuse.
Yeah,
like, yeah. An injury before, you know, the week before a fight, that's excusable because you don't want to get in the ring with an injury.
Yeah.
But things I've heard of in the past where actually happened to me, lucky enough we had a replacement, but the guy pulled out because the coach said he wasn't mentally ready.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? What do you mean he's not mentally ready the week before a fight? Why'd you sign up for a fight if he's not mentally ready?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get, like, some of these people, like, they don't belong in fight sports.
Yeah,
if you're going to not be mentally ready to get in the ring, then go learn some forms in Kung Fu or something. Get away from ring sports. Like, that's how I feel.
With all due respect to Kung Fu.
You know what I'm saying. I Kung Fu is beautiful, but it's not a ring sport.
Yeah, no, I understand, man. And what Charlie was saying, and shout out to Charlie and Kate out of Eight Limbs. I know, you know, we know them very, we know them well. Yeah, man, I agree with that. I do agree with something like that, where it's almost like, say like a red card in soccer. You know,
yeah.
Big soccer fan. You know, you red card, you get banned one game. You know, so it's like, all right, you pulled this stuff. Maybe first time is a warning. You know, and the second time is like, okay, you've done this. Your gym has done this on two occasions now. You know. For the next fight, you know, we're not even going to take you in, for the next event, we're not even going to take you into consideration, you know, that kind of thing.
I think it should be time period.
Yeah. Like a specific time period. So they know it's like either one event or two events or who knows, but I don't know, man. It's just, it's so difficult, you know, as is, it's difficult for amateurs to find fights here in the US. So I guess that's why we don't do it, but it keeps happening. And, I mean, in this case, it was a little bit different. In this case, it's just straight up like dishonesty and somebody who, like, to me, it's really fucked up, because at the end of the day, you know, he's a pro, man. He can potentially, like, my fighter, he's a guy who works a 9-to-5 job. You know, he has to go to work on Monday. He has a baby girl. You know, this is not what he does for a living. You know what I mean? And a guy who's from the Ukraine, who's a pro, you know, who I've seen, you know, he's got a 20-fight record as a pro. And like you said, we don't even know how many fights he has as an amateur. He's going to fight a guy who's like, you know, who's got only 4 fights. I mean, it's like, dude, he could potentially hurt somebody, man, you know? And that's why at the end of the day, like, Jose, which is my coach, and myself, we were just like, Jose was just like, I'm not going to let my guy fight him. I'm not going to do it. You know, I told my fighter, you know, the fighter in me says yes, you know, like, just go in there and give this guy, you know, teach this guy a lesson. But the coach in me says no. And then at the end of the day, it's also that you can't fight this guy, you know, because it's not a legal thing. It's a legal thing now. He's pro. You can't do it. It'd be a totally different issue if we find out that the guy had said he's 2-3 as an amateur, and then it turns out he's 17-7 as an amateur. At that point, I'd say, you know what? Fuck it. You can still fight him, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's 17-7 as an amateur. You know, he could have fought 17 people that were like his brother and sister. You know, I don't, you know, that it could have been anything. You know, so you know, we all know some amateur fights mean more than others. You know, if, you know, sometimes there are some events that you're like, if you fought 17 fights and you're like local sort of, you know, smoker fights, which there's not a lot of, and the talent pool isn't really that great, and you beat a bunch of nobodies, then, you know, I'm pretty sure a fighter can do well, you know. But this is pro, dude, and like I said, it was an event where it looked like fucking K1, so this guy had some experience. So it was just flat out dishonesty, man, and it pissed me off and pissed off my fighter and obviously my coach, and I think people who do that are just dicks.
I agree.
You know, so yeah, man. I mean, that was my story. I mean, that's kind of what happened over the weekend and pissed me off. And you know, hopefully we can get a fight for my fighter soon. And you know, because it just sucks. You know, as like I said, as everybody knows that listens to our podcast, that is the worst feeling, is to train for something and then, you know, all of a sudden they say, oh yeah, you're not fighting, and you're like, oh man, all this time and sacrifice and not eating what's delicious has gone down the drain.
That's the worst part, in my opinion.
Exactly.
All that wasted time of not eating delicious food.
Exactly. That's I think every fighter would agree with that. We would all be like, you fucker, man. I couldn't eat a Philly cheesesteak for the last
slices of All the slices of pizza I missed over the past 6 weeks.
Exactly.
Gone.
Yeah.
I'll never get that back.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, man. So that was that's what happened there, and it was just unfortunate. But moving on from that, did you happen to catch Bellator this weekend, man?
No, like I said, I'm already in vacation mode.
Oh, okay. So you're technically not watching anything then? No, no.
I'm just getting ready for the vacation and just been kind of like getting the gym ready, because this is actually the first time I'm going to be away from the gym for a few days. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be open. Like, I went on a vacation when I first opened up and the gym was small and I just shut down for a week. But now this time the gym is going to stay open. I have a couple of my, you know, more advanced guys going to be running the classes and stuff for me. So I was just kind of getting that set up and just ready to go on vacation.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, that's so, like, how do you feel about leaving your gym unattended by you?
I'm a little nervous, actually.
Yeah.
Because not that I'm nervous, you know, I know nothing is going to happen. You know, the guys I put in charge, they'll be fine. Everything will be fine.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird. Feels weird. Doesn't feel right.
Are you going to be like calling the gym from Bermuda? Making sure everything's okay.
No, actually, I want nothing to do with Muay Thai this week.
Okay. Like you said, you don't even want to be on this podcast right now.
Yeah, I need a break from life. Actually, the only thing I would really like to do is sit on a beach and do nothing and maybe play golf.
Okay.
That's about it.
Oh, so you're a golfer?
Yeah, I've actually thought about giving up Muay Thai to just play golf full time.
Oh, nice. All right. So let's leave that up to the poll of the fans. What do you guys think about Vinny leaving Muay Thai for golf? Comments below. it's totally understandable, man. Like I was talking about, like we were talking about a little bit off air. I mean, I kind of felt like I haven't been on a vacation, although I did, you know, I was in Colombia. I went to Cali but that was during the time, as I had mentioned in our last podcast, that one of the reasons that we had been out for a while was that I had gotten laid off from my job. You know, a lot of people got laid off. It was a reduction in force. And the funny thing is, I had already planned a vacation before I knew I was going to get laid off. I had already planned a vacation. So when I got laid off, you know, I still went on the vacation. And I thought, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to be okay. It's like, you know, screw it. You know, I got laid off, but now I'm just going to not think about it, clear my head and go somewhere, you know? And, I'm kind of an anxious person. So I'm somebody that's always thinking like, you know, many, many weeks in the future. So I'm always kind of worried about everything. So, it didn't exactly go that way, man. You know, I went on vacation and then the whole time I was thinking, fuck, you know, like you said, you're spending money and you know that when you get back, you have no paycheck, you know, and then you also feel like, you know, am I going to get a job? How am I, you know, when I get back, I got all these problems that are going to hit me. So the funny thing is that while I was on vacation, I just kept thinking about what was going to happen when I got back. So I couldn't enjoy the vacation. So, yeah, man, I understand, like, you know, this is good, man, just for you to go and clear your head. And now that I'm working and everything, I'm like actually happy, but you know, I would love to go on a vacation where I can just be like nothing. And you know, I don't need to worry about anything right now.
Yeah. But anyways, being on the topic of Colombia, did you stop being an asshole yet and watch Narcos?
No, I did not stop being an asshole and watch Narcos.
Such an asshole.
So for a little bit of background, I was born here in the United States. My family is from Colombia, but I grew up in Colombia. I grew up in Bogota, Colombia. I am 100% consider myself a Colombian American, more so Colombian than American. So for all you America cats out there, you're going to be like, oh man,
this guy's an asshole.
This guy's not a patriot. He's un-American. So I grew up over there and I really grew up in different countries overseas. So, Colombia, Peru, Ecuador, all in South America. But the thing with Pablo Escobar, this is the thing. So let's go into that topic a little bit, just a tiny bit. I mean, I don't want to go through the whole history of everything because you guys are watching Narcos and I assume you guys think you know all about the fucking history of Pablo Escobar because you're watching a show, you know? So, the thing is,
no, but before you continue, I will tell you what the show does.
Uh-huh.
Because it shows you, like, a little bit of a different side of the character, because it's all not true events.
Yeah.
But yeah. It actually makes you root for the bad guy.
Uh-huh.
Even though most people watching the show know what happens to Pablo Escobar in the end and everything, but it's still...
And if you don't know, he dies.
But anyway, it actually makes you root for the bad guy. So it's kind of crazy. Like, they make you, like, show like his heart, like a different side of him, and you root for him.
Yeah,
but anyway, continue.
The thing is, in Colombia, a lot of money has been made by different production houses, you know, different networks, and they consistently put out this, you know, these shows that are Pablo Escobar, you know, the different guys that surrounded Pablo Escobar, the Black Widow, you know, all these, you know, which was, forgot her fucking name. But anyway,
Griselda
Blanco, exactly. So all these people that gave really Colombia a bad name when it came to obviously the whole drug trade thing in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So like Colombian people in Colombia, they were like so saturated with that topic, you know, that it's always, you know, when people think about Colombia, what do they think about? A lot of people immediately go to coffee and cocaine, and more likely they're going to go to cocaine because it's the more salacious of the things that we know about, you know, about Colombia. So a lot of Colombians just feel like it's been overdone. But see, here's the thing, man, and I understand it because it's really not Netflix or Narcos' fault, because at the same time, Colombians, the networks do it in Colombia all the time, even though people come out and say all the time, like, why do we still continue to promote this whole narco and, you know, mafia sort of culture that we had in Colombia during the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and make it seem almost like it's cool, and make it seem like almost like, you know, Pablo was this, you know, larger than life character that was sort of cool, rather than, you know, the fact that he, you know, was involved in the murder of, you know, so many hundreds of thousands of people, related around the drug trade, you know. So that's the thing that kind of gets me, like, and the thing is, not really that I won't watch it. I'll probably end up watching it. My wife hates those shows because, you know, I mean, she's Colombian as well, and she just hates having to see that shit over and over again. But recently, the thing is, if you guys are on Netflix, there's another show that's actually a Spanish show that's called El Patrón del Mal, or Pablo Escobar, El Patrón del Mal. You guys can see it there in on Netflix with subtitles and everything. And that was actually done in Colombia. It's really, really good. It's something like 70 episodes, though. But it's really, really well done. And that came out just maybe like 2 years before Narcos came out. So that was like that's kind of the reason why I say, like, we're like super saturated by it. You know, it's already been done. And in Colombia, they did it in a big way. And now for Narcos to come out, it's just like, oh, fuck. And now they're coming out with a movie, I think, with Brian, what's this guy? The guy from Breaking Bad, Cranston. Brian Cranston, they're going to do a show, the movie called The Infiltrator, where he does supposedly some, you know, where he's one of the CIA guys that, or FBI guys or DEA, whatever, that infiltrates Escobar's cartel or whatever. So, man, it's just been so done. And for Colombians, you know, they want to get past that shit. You know, it's kind of like with Germans, that every single time, you know, people bring up Germany, you know, the first thing they think about is like fucking Hitler and the Nazis. You know, so it's like, you know, they want to get past that horrible part of their past. But, you know, I understand the allure of it, you know. And but see, this is the thing that you said is the thing that kind of bothers me, is where that they make it into a point where you root for the bad guy, you know. And Escobar's a dick, man. He was a dick, dude. So it's like, you know, like, yeah, that's just the way I see it, you know. He was responsible for, you know, killing a lot of people, dude. So.
Well, yeah, now we can do even more spoilers, and the first two seasons are over.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, Pablo Escobar's outcome.
Yeah.
But they're doing season 3 and 4, and that's going to be all about the Cali cartel.
I guess that at least they'll get off the Pablo thing, but it's still, you know, still talking about the other problems in Colombia, you know, which are the Orejuela brothers.
The politics of Colombia, when all I wanted to do was prove you were an asshole about a show.
Well, but no, anyway. But my job is not only to inform you guys about Muay Thai, but inform you about the world. That's my job. That's my job.
So anyway,
do we want to go into more politics, Vin? Because I know you love them.
No. Anyway, so next on the list that we had mentioned was you watched Bellator. I didn't because I'm just in a fog. Didn't even know it was on.
Yeah, well, no, dude, the thing is I didn't even know it was on either. Part of the thing is since I'm at my new job, I'm just like 100% focused on not getting fired. And so I'm just, focusing on making sure I'm doing everything correctly while I'm starting off at the new position. So I've been kind of out of the loop, like when I'm watching TV and stuff, So I didn't see a lot of, I didn't catch a lot of promotion for it. So then what happens is, I do obviously on the Striking Corner Instagram and all the people we follow on Striking Corner, I saw a lot of people posting, watch Bellator this Friday. And I was like, oh crap, there's a Bellator event. So I didn't even know. I think part of the reason they didn't do a lot of promotion was because this event was in Budapest. It didn't have a lot of well-known names for the regular people, the regular kind of casual fan of kickboxing that's getting into kickboxing now, which are your more American guys like Joe Schilling and Kevin Ross, which we all know are on the cards.
Yeah. I think that's why they should have promoted it more.
Okay.
Because what, sports like Muay Thai and kickboxing need is, most of these events that we watch on Lion Fight and Glory, they're great events. Mm-hmm. But it's most of the time a lot of the same people that you see over and over.
Yeah.
Bellator doing an event where there wasn't really a lot of people that they should have promoted that more to just show people different fighters, different talents that we don't know about already.
Yeah. There were two bigger names but I'm saying unless you're a diehard Muay Thai fan or a diehard kickboxing fan, you might not know them, which were Kareem Gaji, who had fought in Glory previously, and who used to fight in Glory, and then Denise Kielholz, who she's the Infusion champion now. She fights for Bellator Kickboxing. She's married to Hezdy Gürges, who's huge talent in kickboxing and in Glory. She also defeated Tiffany Van Soest at Infusion. So she's a well-known kickboxer. So she was on the card as well. So those were the two big names. But then they had, some local people from Hungary. This guy, Zsolt Benedek, Renata Lantos. They were all fighting. They were actually the other ones that were fighting the bigger names. Because the other big name that was on the card was Vinny's favorite fighter, which was the real deal, Raymond Daniels. All jokes aside, he's a great fighter, but we just don't like his style. Okay, that's the thing. But
I don't doubt. I don't take anything away from him. He is a great fighter. He's won a lot of fights.
Yeah.
But just not my favorite style to watch.
Yeah. So anyway, Raymond Daniels was fighting. So they actually put, let's say, a lot of local Hungarian guys and girls. So Renata Lantos was up against Denise Kielholz. Zsolt Benedek was up against Raymond Daniels. And the last fight, which was the main event, was Zoltan Lasek against Kareem Gaji. Well, Kareem Gaji is a fighter from France. He fought Glory. He fought Joseph Valtellini. If you guys remember, Valtellini knocked him out with a head kick. It was a pretty, pretty good. It was a really good fight. And then on the card, there was another guy, Ali El Amiri and Alexander Negrea from the Romania. And Al Amiri, I don't recall where he's from exactly. But actually, man, the fights were, to me, they were really good. I actually enjoyed them. For them being people that were relatively unknown to a lot of other people, I thought they were really good. I didn't like the Raymond Daniels fight for the fact that it's just, I just don't like his style. That's the reason I don't like it. But at the end of the day, I think he fought this guy, Zsolt Benedek, who was like part of like the anti-terrorism police from Hungary. So almost like the Mirko Krokop of Hungary, But it was like obviously a smaller weight class. But, you know, Raymond Daniels did what he did and his spinning kicks and everything, but he didn't knock him out or anything. The guy stood in there, and he ended up obviously losing by unanimous decision because, you know, Raymond Daniels beat him up doing a lot of those flying attacks, but the guy hung in there. All the fights pretty much went to decision, but they were really, really good. Like this guy, Ali El Amiri, he's 42-11-2. He fought Alexander Negreo from Romania. That guy just put on a clinic against the guy from Romania. So that was a really good, exciting fight to watch. Denise Kjelholz, you know, does what she does. She's a really talented fighter out of Holland. She beat Renata Lantos from Hungary as well. But to me, man, the fight that I think everybody, and if you guys can feel free to comment, and, you know, if you did watch it, you know, what you guys felt about the event, what you guys felt about Bellator. We'll go into a little bit more about Bellator kickboxing in a second. But the last fight, Vinny, I mean, is the one I told you, you know, off air. I was like, you should check it out. It was Kareem Gaji, who's 96-13 as a record, you know, going up against Zoltan Lashek, who was 11-2. And that to me was like, okay, you know, this guy's going to get his ass kicked. And that fight was a five round brawl of these two guys just beating the crap out of each other. And Kareem Gaji is known for being a little bit technical and trying to you know, to set his pace, but Zoltan Lashek did not let him do that. And it turned into a brawl, and they were, you know, just going at it, not almost knocking each other out. I thought they were going to finish each other because they were, you know, landing so many shots, but, you know, nobody actually went down. It was pretty incredible, but super exciting fight. And Zoltan Lashek actually walked away with the unanimous decision win, which was iffy because I really thought Kareem Gaji won that fight, him being the champion. I thought he should have taken that fight. And I think the people that were commentating, which was Matt Mitrione and somebody else from Bellator Kickboxing, they were saying, you know, I thought Kareem Gaji won rounds 4 and 5. I don't know how they scored it for the other guy, but and anyway, he ended up losing his title. I understand a split decision, but unanimous decision was a little weird, and I don't know if it was just, you know, like kind of a, you know, what they call home cooking because he was from Hungary, you know, so maybe that's why he lost. And, you know, so Kareem Gaji lost his title to this guy Zoltan Lashek. But all in all, man, I was happy. I'm happy to see Bellator kickboxing bringing new names to the sport. I think it's more of what we need, you know, is to see stuff like that. And like you said, I think they should have promoted it more, even though it didn't have a lot of like huge names on there, but they should have promoted it a little bit more. Maybe I was out of the loop and I didn't see it, the promotion. So maybe I'm wrong on that, but I didn't see a lot of promotion on it. Like, I usually know when the other ones are coming. I already know about the December 10th event, which is going to have, you know, Kevin Ross and Joe Schilling and Giorgio Petrosian on it. So, I mean, I already know about that one, but I didn't even know about this one, you know? So.
Maybe it's because was there any American fighters on the card?
Just Daniels, Raymond Daniels. That's it.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and Raymond Daniels, I mean, I think to the common fan, to the casual fan, he's sort of a draw because he's got a lot of that, you know, his highlight reel sort of spinning moves and all that type of stuff. But, yeah, man, I didn't hear a lot about it. But I like the production for Bellator Kickboxing is cool. The fact that they're going to other countries, I like, you know, that they're kind of tying it all together. I mean, it's the same thing that Glory does, going all over the world as well. But I think competition is good because Glory can't be the only kickboxing outlet we have. Lion Fight can't be the only Muay Thai outlet we have, which currently it kind of is. And now with Bellator Kickboxing, especially the fact that it has guys like Scott Coker and then Bellator MMA behind it, I think that it's going to be a good. I think it's going to be good for kickboxing. You know, I hopefully it continues to grow. And seeing some of these guys, like, honestly, like, I was talking to Vinny off air, is like, these guys, like Zoltan Lashek, who beat Kareem Gaji, I knew nothing about him. I was like, oh, this guy's going to get beat by this other guy who has, you know, 107, 108 fights compared to his, you know, 13 fights. But, you know, he put on a really good show and the guy has a lot of talent. And now I'm going to, like, watch out for that name because now he's champion. So now we're going to see more of him. So I think that's good. I mean, it means Bellator's bringing in new talent and new people. We're going to be able to see some new people. But I don't know, man. At the same time, I always feel like, you know, Americans are only going to watch Americans. I mean, they're going to tune in to watch on December 10th because, you know, Joe Schilling and Kevin Ross are on it. And Giorgio Petrosian.
You know, talking about not being the only show. I mean, yeah, right now Lion Fight is the main show from Muay Thai. But one thing I did hear, I mean, I don't know what's going to come out of it, but I heard that Yokao is trying to come to the U.S. in a big way between product sales, equipment sales, and fight cards. That's what I've heard recently. I mean, I don't know how true it is, how quickly it's going to happen, but I think if Yokao comes to the U.S. and starts putting a lot of, you know, U.S. fighters on their cards, I think they could definitely, you know, be one of the top shows around.
Oh, well, yeah, man, I didn't even know that. But yeah, definitely, because Yokao has a lot of, you know, star power under them in the sense that they got, you know, guys like Buakaw, Sanchai, all those guys on their sponsors that are sponsored by them. And then they have guys like Liam Harrison and Jordan Watson. And there's a couple guys that that are sponsored by Yokao. So there's a couple of guys there that if they bring him stateside, we can have some pretty interesting fights. But we have to see because, you know, now, I mean, too much. I think it's good for I think the competition is good. I just hope they don't get tied up too much in these contracts because, you know, like Denise Kielholz being in Bellator and her being the one that beat Tiffany. I'm just wondering now that Tiffany's in Glory, how is it going to happen? Are we going to be able to see a Denise versus Tiffany rematch, you know, because they're in two different organizations? You know, I know Imam Barlow and she's now in Lion Fight. A lot of people wanted to see her fight Tiffany. There was talk about that fight happening, and then Iman went to Lion Fight and didn't end up signing with Glory, and Tiffany's now in Glory, so are we going to be able to see that fight? You know, so that's kind of the logistics area and the business area that gets tied up when guys are in too many different organizations. Now, if Lion Fight, you know, has their own contracts with their fighters, and they're also working with Muay Thai Grand Prix in the UK, if Yokao comes, you know, how free are the guys that are on Lion Fight going to be to fight, let's say, on a Yokao show? So we'll see how that works, you know. But
well, that type of contract and competition, I don't necessarily disagree with. I think when it's the same rule set, like, say, Lion Fight and Yokao, I think that, yeah, there should be contracts because how are they going to keep fighters on their cards?
Yeah.
But yeah. I think that between, say, Lion Fight and Glory, that shouldn't be an issue because it's different rule set of fighting, different type of fighting.
Yeah, but I mean, what happens if one of your, you know, you have a guy, let's say like Kevin Ross, that's going to fight on Lion Fight, and, you know, you want him to fight on Lion Fight, but 30 days before that fight, he has another fight in Bellator Kickboxing, he ends up getting injured in a Bellator Kickboxing event, can't fight on your Lion Fight card. I think that's the reason why they do those things. So I think that's where it becomes an issue. And then it kind of just binds them to one show. And that's what we end up running into is that we don't see some of the best fights, but we see more kickboxing and more Muay Thai on TV, which in the end of the day is what we want to see. So we'll have to see how it turns out. But that Yokao thing is interesting. Speaking of Yokao, actually, there's going to be a Yokao event in the UK, I believe in October, because we were speaking with our good friend K1 Anoop. And we're actually trying to get him out there to cover the event, the Yokao UK event that's going to take place in October. So shout out to him because I just wanted to bring that up. Obviously, that there's a couple of events coming out in the UK, and we kind of want to bring in more UK fans and stuff like that because Anoop is out there in the UK and he's going to be covering that scene for us and for his own site, K1 Anoop. But yeah, man. I mean, going back to everything. I'm just excited, like looking at Bellator Kickboxing, knowing that card. I mean, it has Giorgio Petrosian on it, so I'm sure you're excited. The one that's coming in December, yes. That's going to be awesome. So, and Joe Schilling and Kevin Ross. I mean, those are all going to be interesting to see. And then, you know, Lion Fight. Speaking of Lion Fight, you know, their next card coming up is actually pretty stacked too. It's also in October, October 21st. It's going to be kind of a strange fight to me, at least. The championship bout is going to be a super welterweight fight between Kai Hollenbeck and Malapet. I know a lot of people have been asking questions like, isn't Kai Hollenbeck a lot bigger than Malapet? I do think he is, but I think he's fought at that weight before.
Well, yeah. Of course, when I first saw it, I thought that it was going to be like a catchweight fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then I saw, you know, some people were, which I actually didn't know, that both of them have competed at 154 before.
Mm-hmm.
So they've both fought at that weight, and I guess, you know, super welterweight, that's what, that's, you know, that's 154, so that's what they're going to be fighting at.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think day of fight, though, Kai Hollenbeck is going to be a fucking tank.
Probably.
You know, because I'm pretty sure Malapet might walk around near that weight, you know, or, you know, and, you know, not that too far off 154, but I don't think Kai Hollenbeck does. That guy's, you know, solid, and he's coming off... He's got what, like, I think that he's got like three, his last wins. I mean, he's actually, he's 5-0 or 3-0 since he's 5-0 since he's been in Lion Fight.
Yeah, 5-0
since he's been in Lion Fight. He's just run through the last couple of fights he's fought. I mean, his last guy that he fought was it Mark Holst? And then the other fight was against Justin Greskowicz, which was a totally one-sided nasty victory by Kai Hollenbeck, man. As much as I like Justin, and we've had him on the show before, that was just a, you know, just a demolishing, you know, by Kai Hollenbeck of Justin. That was a tough fight. So
this is one of those fights that I think Malapet actually needs to train for.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know. Malapet has been sort of like, I don't know if he says it just to be controversial, or he says it to kind of like make the other guy kind of think that, you know, take it easy or something. But Malapet has come out and said a couple of times during interviews that he doesn't even train for these fights, you know, that he just, you know, he just starts running 2 weeks before, and that's all he does to get ready. I mean, that's, and then, you know, Malapet with the way, I mean, who he is and who he is as a fighter and his, you know, his reputation, it's sort of gotten to this point where, yeah, like, he's not as fighting as we would all probably expect him to. You know, he's still exciting, but he's not that like Thai destroyer that everyone thinks that would, you know, because every time, you know, a Thai comes to the United States to fight, everyone's like, oh man, he's Thai, you know, he's automatically gonna win, you know. But that's no longer the case, you know, because a lot of our American fighters are extremely talented, and the thing is with him is, yeah, it seems like he's been living here for a while in the United States, and it seems like he's not as, I don't know, not as dedicated. I hope, you know, we're wrong, but it's, you know, his status is pretty legendary, but, you know, he's lost to a lot of American fighters, and we'll see. I mean, I think Kai Hollenbeck has everything in his arsenal to beat Malapet. So,
yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. And I think he's going to be a bigger guy. I think Kai is going to win that fight. I might be wrong, but to me, I think he's just a bigger guy. And, I think he's very talented, and he could really, really, you know, really put a hurting on Malapet if he wants to. So we'll see what happens. But besides that, on that card, like I said, that's going to happen in Las Vegas. So what we had said during our last podcast, I guess we thought they were sticking with the Foxwoods Casino. Apparently they're not. This is going to be at the Tropicana Casino in Las Vegas, a new venue for them. So we'll see. I mean, it looks like they're going to be doing shows still on West Coast and East Coast, which is good. But yeah, besides that, on the card, the fights that I'm really interested in that they've announced, Travis Clay will be facing off with Victor Saravia, our good friend Victor Saravia. We've had him on the podcast. His last fight, he lost the fight. He lost the fight to McGowan, right? In Muay Thai Grand Prix.
Yeah,
he lost the fight to McGowan, and then before that, he lost the fight to John Nofer. So, you know, he's been he's lost his two last fights, but I know Victor is a tough guy. He was on a tear when we interviewed him, so I'm pretty sure he's gonna come back hard. And Travis Clay's no pushover. He's out of Satan in Arizona. I think that's gonna be a really, really good fight. Another fight that I'm calling that's going to be amazing is Josh Shepherd versus Gabriel Massetti. If you guys don't know about Gabriel Massetti is a fighter out of Peru. He is actually
Spanish accent, didn't you?
Yeah, Gabriel Massetti. But yes. Massetti is a Italian last name, but,
but it is actually.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. Massetti actually fights out of the F-14 gym, which is in in Peru, and it's actually a gym where Gaston Bolaños, a lot of those guys came. Gaston Bolaños, who is now obviously at CSA, has connections with that gym. He's bringing a lot of those guys from F14 and trying to bring them over, or at least give them shots here in the States. And Gabriel Massetti is a fighter who's been really, 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 he's really talented. I don't know, a lot of people, you guys might not seen him, but now he's at CSA. He has been training at CSA. I don't know how long he's going to be doing that, but he's going to have at his disposal a bunch of great training partners. And he's going to be taking on Josh Shepherd, which I think is going to be a really, really good fight, because we all know Shepherd is also a very, very tough guy. So I think that might be actually fight of the night for me. That's the one I'm most looking forward to. And then another one will be Romy Adanza, the veteran, is going to take on one of Victor Saravia's teammates, which is Ming Freeman. So Ming Freeman's actually 5-0 as a pro, and he's going to take on Romy Adanza. And, you know, Romy just still going strong. So, I mean, I don't know, man. It seems like forever that I've seen Romy fight.
Yeah.
I remember his last fight was against Dan McGowan, Daniel McGowan, or Danny McGowan, is a great friend of the podcast. We love that guy. Him and his father, they're really top-notch guys. Dan is a talented fighter. He was doing incredibly well against Romy Adanza when they fought in Lion Fight in July. You know, that's the beauty of Muay Thai, is that always vicious and sneaky elbow can stop you. And Romy Adanza landed a nasty one on McGowan to stop the fight.
Split him open pretty bad.
Yep. So I think that's going to be a great fight. Romy and Ming Freeman actually, beat Jason Andrada, who, you know, Jason Andrada has a large, you know, a really, really good reputation, really good following in Lion Fight, has done really well, is a very exciting fighter to watch, and Ming actually beat him. So this is going to be a good fight. It's going to be, so far, man, I like the card. That's about it. I mean, for Lion Fight, at least. So there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things coming up soon. You know, we're going to have some good events coming all the way up through from October to December. And I'm excited. I'm seeing a lot of kickboxing and a lot of Muay Thai, man. And hopefully I can get fights for my guys
you're going to have to come up here.
Yeah, man. Well, but how is it up there? Anything coming up up there?
The next event that I know of, in October, I'm pretty sure there's a Friday night fight. I know a couple guys that are fighting on that card. And then November is Warriors Cup, the first Warriors Cup that's in Philly.
Oh, nice.
So I actually commentated on the last Warriors Cup that was in Queens, mm-hmm. where it has been for the past few events. But the next one, November 4th, is the first ever one in Philly. So that should be a good card.
I have to mention that the commentary on the last event was by far the most phenomenal commentary I've ever heard on any fighting event.
You didn't even watch it, you asshole.
It was you and Chris Formulo, right?
Yeah, me and Chris Formulo, a.k.a. Crom. Uh-huh. Actually, we had a good time. I don't know how well we did. I know we had fun. That's all I really care about.
No, but that's good, man. I mean, you're doing the commentary thing. I did a little bit of commentary myself back in back up in New York when I was doing stuff for Take On, but it's a fun gig, man. I love doing the shows up there. There's great energy in New York, great energy in the whole tri-state area, really, up there, and now Philly. A lot of good gyms in Philly, man, with Justin and Kate and Charlie got their gym out there. Rami's got his gym out there. So there's a lot of good movement in Philly. So that's, I'm kind of happy to see that. That's going to be cool, man. When is that one? Do you know when that's going to be?
November 4th.
November 4th. All right. So yeah, man. Like I said, a lot of good stuff, man. I mean, is Friday Night Fights going to be in New York? Are they? Because as always.
Yeah, they're in New York. I mean, I think they always used to do. I haven't looked up. Like I said, I've been in vacation mode, so I haven't really looked into anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But the card, I don't know where the next card is, but they always used to do them at the Broad Street Ballroom. But I think lately, you know, they've been doing them at the Lucky Strike Bowling Alley.
Yeah, yeah. No, but the reason I was bringing it up is because, you know, remember we talked about that whole issue going on right now with the insurance for the fighters. Is that coming into effect yet or not yet?
Well, I don't think that affects amateur.
Okay.
I don't know 100%. I mean, I'm not a promoter, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think that affects the amateur level. And, you know, Warriors Cup is obviously mostly amateur fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I, you know, the last few Friday nights I've been to, it's been mostly amateurs. So I haven't really seen too many pro fights.
Yeah, maybe that's how they're circumventing that, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, that's the only way around it, which kind of sucks for the New York Muay Thai scene because, you know, the only, you know, the next step up for pro is that's anywhere close is when Lion Fight comes to Foxwoods. So
yeah,
it's kind of like, you know, how do you go straight from amateur to Lion Fight? It's kind of tough.
We're going to have to bring our boy Chris Tran on the podcast eventually, even though he avoids us. But we're going to have to bring him on because I want to know when Warriors Cup is going to start doing some pros again. Because I don't think are they going to do it? Have you talked to him at all, or you don't know?
I haven't asked him when, but he did mention that, you know, if he is going to have pro fighters, it's obviously not going to be in New York.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm probably sure it's going to be in Philly or Jersey, but... But yeah, I mean, Warriors Cup, they had a couple of good shows where they had some pros on it back in the couple of years ago, man. And, you know, they had Liam Harrison come and they've had some good shows, man. I mean, I would love to see somebody like Chris Tran and his event do something, you know, like that, you know. So have somebody else besides Lion Fight. I mean, as much as we love Lion Fight, but there needs to be like another venue for the East Coast guys to go to, you know, that's not just Lion Fight.
A step up. Like there needs to be a different, like, not necessarily on the level of Lion Fight,
mm-hmm.
maybe below Lion Fight. So you have kind of like that stepping stone to Lion Fight, yeah. you know, where you go from amateur to pro to, yeah. to.
It makes total sense because like that time many podcasts ago, we spoke to Eric Haycraft and it was like talking about how the issue with American Muay Thai, American kickboxing is that there's no in between, you know? So as soon as you go pro, it's like you immediately jump in. Usually you're going to jump in with a guy who's already had a couple of pro fights. There's no like stepping stone. So you're jumping. And some of these guys that are in Lion Fight, I mean, if you're going to step in and, you know, you're going to bring in Fabio Pinca and some of these guys, it's going with guys that all of a sudden, you know, you might have 15 or 17 pro fights, but you're jumping in with somebody like Malapet, who's got 150, you know, so, yeah. so or more than that, obviously 150 plus, you know, professional fights. So there's no middle ground and there needs to be that. And that's kind of like, which is why I'm kind of like liking to see this Bellator, which where I was saying, like there were no kind of well-known names. They were bringing up these new talents. It was still a jump though in some of these, because in the last event, you know, we saw like Kevin Ross go against somebody who was making, you know, he had only a couple of pro fights. And then, you know, somebody that also had a name, I forgot, was a higher name professional fighter fighting somebody who was making their pro debut. So there's still that leap from going from amateur to pro to like, you know, to where in Europe, it's kind of like you have your C, B, and A classes, you know, so you're kind of like, okay, so from this amount of fights, this amount of fights is C class, from this amount of fights to this amount of fights is B class, and from this amount of fights to this amount of fights is A class. It's more of like a logical bringing up of the fighter. Here, it's kind of like if you want to go pro, it's like, yeah, are you willing to put your hands in the fire kind of thing, you know? So that's the step up, you know, and that needs to sort of be changed, you know, that needs to change a little bit. So, but yeah, man, I mean, good to hear about that, about Philly. I'm actually excited. I've been wanting to go up there to do some stuff, actually with Vin, you know, at a live event or do a podcast from where we're actually in the same room. So, so I don't know. We were going to do that for Glory, I think, but then, you know, I was in between jobs at the time or whatever. So, maybe we'll do something for Philly.
Maybe.
Yeah. November 4th isn't a bad date. And, that might be cool to go out to Philly and a lot of good people out in Philly from the Muay Thai scene. And that would be cool to do something out there. So, yeah, man, I think that's it for the fight talk, pretty much. And, besides that, man, I'm just, what else do we got? You have any fun and interesting stories from the gym?
I have nothing to say to you.
You're just ready. No, you're just packing, man. You're just packing. You're ready to go. He doesn't want to be here right now.
No, I mean, everything's, you know, pretty much the same. Nothing real fun and interesting on my end as of right now.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, same as usual.
just the same teaching and everything. I'm actually, in my end, I'm actually back in the gym, going hard and trying to get back in the game. I'm like, you know what? I'm 33. I got to do this shit. So I've been eating right. I've been back in the gym again. So we'll see how long it lasts. But I do actually, I'm thinking about fighting again. And, you know, I'm still pretty much an amateur, although I have, you know, I have over almost 30 fights, but that's been a while. It's been like 2 or 3 years. It's actually like 3 years since I fought. So I want to do something, you know, I'm like saying, I am not getting any younger, but I still have, you know, a couple of years where I can do something. So, I decided, you know, this is my job now, gives me more time. My son is getting a little bit older where I can, you know, do a little bit more things. He can start going to daycare and things like that. So they'll give me more time to do stuff. So hopefully, I can actually start training to fight soon. I'm eyeing summer. So that's my promise to all you podcast listeners. If I don't do that, then, you know, I failed on my promise and I'm an asshole.
And I get to punch you in the face.
Yeah. There you go. All right, man. So, all right, that's it for the podcast. So before we go, we'll just let you guys know, as always, you can go to thestrikingcorner.com, which is our main website. We're going to be updating a lot more content starting soon. Obviously, we, like I said, we've been joining up with my good friend K1 Anoop Holti out of the UK. He's going to be writing some great articles covering the UK scene for us. And so we'll have some updates on that. You'll see that stuff from time to time on thestrikingcorner.com. But anything that you want to know about the Striking Corner, any updates, videos, pictures, we're going to be on Instagram at Striking Corner and on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Striking Corner. That's where most of the stuff that I post and Vinny posts is going to pop up. And we try to keep pretty regular, you know, just doing, you know, pictures and memes and videos. And I showed you that video last week of Vinny's new training technique at the gym. Just that ridiculous video. So, you know, we try to pull up some funny stuff and just stuff to some good fights or knockouts, stuff to entertain you guys that are really into the sport. So, but we're going to also have some more informative stuff coming from our good friend K1 Anoop. So like I said, strikingcorner.com and at strikingcorner all across social media. Also remember, guys, we are now, our good friends at Muay Thai Addict are offering a discount. Vinny, you're the one, you, what is it? 10%?
Yeah. 10% discount. If you use the coupon code striking.
So you guys, the guys at Muay Thai Addict, a great bunch of guys at Muay Thai Addict, Shan and Dimitri, good friends of ours at the Striking Corner. Use that promo code striking, get 10% off, get yourself some great shorts, gear, shirts. As you guys know, they have a lot of the stuff that, they make for Lion Fight, stuff that they've made for Cowboy Cerrone in the UFC, for Kevin Ross, for Gaston Bolaños. The Muay Thai Addict is well known. They're at every show. You guys see their shorts and stuff. So definitely check them out. MuayThaiAddict.com. Shout out to them. Besides that, you can always contact me at eric@strikingcorner.com. That is my personal email. If you have any questions, concerns, any ideas that you have for the podcast, or if you have anybody you want to hear on the podcast, let us know. Vinny, how can they get in touch with you?
My email is Vinny, V-I-N-N-Y, at strikingcorner.com. And also, pretty much any of the social media outlets, you can find me at Vinny Scotto, S-I-M-T.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Eric Kausamrit. Not going to tell you how to spell it. It's the name of the gym where Anoa was from. Eric Kausamrit, that was the first gym I ever went to when I went to Thailand. So, you know, real sort of attachment to that, and I use that as my social media. So at Eric Kausamrit on Instagram, I keep a lot of stuff there. So you can contact me through there as well. And besides that, I think, what else? I was going to add one more thing. I totally forgot. I'm drawing a blank. Whatever. All right, guys. So that's it for this week's podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks with another episode of The Striking Corner, because consistency is key. And I am not going to let Vin bring me down like he did for that last 4 months. No, we're definitely want to stay consistent, bring on people. So if you have any concerns, questions, you can always contact us via strikingcorner.com, at our personal emails, as we just gave you, our at info@strikingcorner.com. So shout out to all of you guys. Thank you for listening. As always, it's a joy to do this podcast for all of you. Thank you for the good feedback, and we will talk to you again soon. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more Muay Thai and kickboxing content. Stay tuned for the next episode of The Striking Corner.